and lie here and push the muzzle of his big old blaster half a foot up your fucking nose, bitch. You even set your fucking teeth in me, and they'll be wiping your fucking brains off the ceiling, I guarantee.
It crossed Christie's mind to let them lie there and blank her mind clear of what was happening to her. She could do it. She'd done it before, back in Moxon with a sec boss there, Kurt Strasser, before she'd met Ryan Cotter. But there was Lori. The girl, despite her bizarre upbringing, had an oddly unflawed innocence. If Christie lay there and allowed these two brutish pigs to do what they wanted, she knew they wouldn't stop at a simple fucking. That would just set them on other ways of humiliating and hurting them both.
Gaia, help me.
Christie closed her eyes, trying to relax and draw on the immense power of the Earth Mother. Part of Christie's mind told her this would be futile, but she recalled what Ryan had said about leaving a place a tad cleaner than when you came to it. That she would do. The cords that bound her ankles and wrists were made of waxed whipcord, tied so tightly that there was blood seeping from under the nails of her fingers and toes, burst from the swollen flesh. The pain had been easy to control, but she worried that she might not be able to function well in a fight. She began drawing on the strength of Gaia in the way that her dead mother had taught her, way back in Harmony.
Gaia, help me. Help me. Help me.
Be real good fucking this. Better than that Lafayette slut with boils on her tits.
Oh, yeah.
Me first.
Laissez le bon don roulé, brother. I like my bun well buttered anyway.
Drool hung from the corner of Alain's narrow mouth. He put his head back when he laughed, and Christie saw the way the cords of his neck stood out like strips of thin iron. The girl took a deep breath, her mind wandering back unbidden to a fine summer's day in Harmony. She would have been around 16 years old then, and filled with devilment. Carl Lanning, a fresh-cheeked boy who would claim her virginity, was the son of the blacksmith, Herb. The lad had teased Christie about her powers, challenging her to show him. The forge had been deserted, the fires had slumbered with a dull red glow, and the hammers were ranged on the walls. She'd picked up a freshly hammered iron shoe, the holes rough-edged and silver. Carl had cheered her on at first, then fallen silent, unbelieving, as she'd gripped the horseshoe, putting a surge of incredible strength into her hands and wrists. She twisted it as though it was saltwater taffy, then dropped it to the floor of the forge, where it rang like a bell. Peter Maritza and Uncle Tyus McCann had learned of her trick, taken her into the smoke-scented parlor, and sat her beneath the framed picture of a racehorse called Skyrocket. They had taken her to task for abusing her unique gift, warning her she must use it sparingly and wisely. Only when you must, had been her uncle's motto. Now, watching the two men prepare for their corrupt sexual pleasures with the helpless Lori, Christie's lips moved.
No, I must, Uncle.
Both men had their backs to her, fumbling with their trousers, their blasters laid on the stone by their feet.
Gaia, help me.
Christie felt her energy increasing until it seemed as though her body might burst with it. The cord around her right wrist snapped like a metal spring failing. The left followed only a moment later. She began to sit up, the bindings breaking at the same time as she flexed both legs. Neil, hearing the snapping, spun around. Alea hopped off balance, his eyes wide as saucers in his pinched face.
What the fuck?
Gripping the table's edge with both hands, Christie pushed herself off, aiming her feet toward Neil's face. The tapered heels of her boots sledgehammered toward his mouth. The silver-patterned leather heels hit the sec guard plumb in the center of his gaping mouth. The blow tore his lip into tatters of bloody flesh, splintering his few remaining teeth into shards of bone. His lower jaw cracked like a dry twig, the awesome force actually ripping it from its socket so it flapped loose as he staggered backward. He was momentarily lifted clear off his feet. Alain was still teetering, his trousers falling to his ankles and revealing a shrinking penis and sagging balls. Had his reflexes been honed, it was a split second when he might have gone for his blaster and shot Christie while she was still recovering her balance, nearly slipping in Neil's spouting blood. But his hands went in panic to his groin as his eyes searched for a way out.
Lady, please! No, no!
I don't have the time.
She swung around, pivoting on the right foot, the left lashing out toward his abdomen. This time it was the toe that did the damage. Though Alain tried to fend off the kick with his hands, he might as well have tried to throttle a cyclone. Three fingers were crushed and broken, the thumb on the right hand agonizingly dislocated. The foot powered on, puncturing his scrotal sac, transforming his testicles to crimson rags of gristle, nearly severing his penis. With a cracking of bone, the entire pelvic girdle opened up. The guard staggered back, banging against the table, his face as white as parchment, a mask of silent pain. He collapsed to his knees, blood fountaining from his ruined groin, legs kicking and jerking spasmodically under the colossal shock. Turning from the dying men, Christie effortlessly snapped the cords at Lori's wrists and ankles. Lori instinctively hoisted her panties back to their rightful position.
How you kill them like that?
I guess it's because I'm a fucking mutie, girl.
Can you open door?
Christie shook her head, feeling the familiar wave of weariness touching her temples. Using the powers always left her drained and enfeebled. It was the price that her mother had warned her that she must pay.
Too tired. Must sit down or I'll...
At her feet, the body of the younger set guard had ceased thrashing. Blood oozed silently across the floor. There was no sound from beyond the bolted door to indicate that anyone had heard anything from inside. Lori swung her long legs elegantly over the side of the table and rose. She put her arms around Christie, hugging her tightly and feeling how the red-haired girl was trembling.
Be fine. Them fuckers dead. Got what wanted. Don't cry, Christie. Be fine. I won't talk, nor you, even if that giant mutie mongrel kills us. One day Doc and Ryan and JB and Finn will do for him. Beg pardon, but it's fucking true.
But Christie Roth wasn't weeping. Inside, she was angry with herself. Angry that she'd let her emotions govern her good sense. Mother Sonia's often repeated motto, strive for life, had been momentarily forgotten. It was scant consolation that Baron Tremont's evening roll call would be 2 sec men short. If she'd waited, then a better chance might have come. A chance to chill the Baron himself and go out on that. Or even a glimmer of a break. Now she'd have to invent a story that the men had freed her and that she'd been lucky enough to take them by surprise. It would be some hours before her strength would return. Her acute hearing caught the noise of Tremont's clumsy braces creaking outside. Then the bolt grated back. She held tightly onto Lori's hand to keep herself from trembling. Doc was astounded to find that some of the Vidhouse's equipment was still in working order. Jack showed them a booklet dated January 2001, listing the attractions playing at the Adelphi. They'd been in the middle of a retrospective season, with movies from the 1970s, 1980s, and even earlier. The names meant nothing to Ryan or the others, but brought a sparkle of enthusiasm to the roomy eyes of Doc Tanner. George Stevens, John Ford, Sam Peckinpah.
They were showing Shane and Ride the High Country, with She Wore a Yellow Ribbon and The Last Hurrah later the same day.
We got bit of one left. Cheyenne Cattle Company. Heard of it, Wrinkly?
Heard of it, Sonny? By the three Kennedys. You'll ask me whether I've heard of... What's his name? Damned left me.
All else is gone. But in Top Chef a closet was single round tin, and in it was piece of it. Means a lot, Ryan.
The albino had insisted they watch this, telling them it would last only about 10 minutes. Though he was desperate to get on with the task of